This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. One of my favorite people in the media world is Nui Scruggs. Does a hell of a job covering Dallas sports. Down in the Metroplex, Nui always makes me laugh. And Nui, what the hell just happened between you and our producer, Jeff Walker?
Well, first I was checking to see, he said, B. Mitch wasn't here. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. I mean, make sure brother's okay. And he said, nah, Toby's feeling it. I said, because I wasn't sure. I like, Toby? He said, Toby. I was like, Toby and like, Kente Toby? Like Ice Cube, I got a whip for you, Toby. You used to be my homie. Now you act like you don't know me. All good. So, all right, fellas, left hand up. You're getting a new stadium out there.
You got. All right. So you
I might come back to the city now. Since the last time I was there, it was raining on me in a press box, and I'm like, I ain't never coming back here. And them hot dogs had a pink line in them, so I had to go shop for food before I came up to the game. I'm like, I ain't coming back. I said my weekend guy, so I'm glad the new stadium's coming.
I remember that game with the leak. The new stadium is going to be a while, though, Nui. But here's the difference. You might have to come because these Cowboys-Commanders games matter.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I'm not getting rained on again.
They have spent some money and improved things. It's obvious. Listen, it's not Jerry World, but the actual, like, the working experience that you and I share has improved. The food is often better, not always, but there's no more leaks. Nui, you come to town, I promise you no press box leaks.
Okay, so the Snyder era is officially over.
Yes. Let's start with your boys, though. How did the Cowboys do this offseason and draft to you?
It depends on how you look at the game. If you look at the game from a football perspective, you're like, oh my gosh, where's the wide receiver? Where's the running back? But if you look at it from a football perspective, the way Hall of Fame writer Rick Goslin had always taught me, he's like, look, first thing I do is figure out how to win your division. And if you can't block the Eagles, you can't beat the Eagles. We just saw it in the Super Bowl. And the Cowboys are dreadful against the run. If you want to beat them, just start running. So that's an issue. And then last year, once Zach Martin, really all the wheels fell off on Zach Martin, the offensive line was terrible. Dak out there running for his life. Man, that tore the bone off the hamstring out there running for his life. The offensive line was so bad. So they decided under Brian Schottenheimer they wanted to run the ball, which Mike McCarthy didn't want to do. And in order to do that, you got to be good up front. And so fans who were moaning and groaning about Tyler Book from Alabama, I'm like, guys, do you realize what's in the division here? You got the Eagles, number one. You got DQ, who you know is a defensive line guy. They're always going to be good. Joe Witt knows what to do defensively. And the Giants, forget their quarterback, they got a good D-line. If you can't block any of that, you can't help. Your quarterback's 32 years old. He's been getting hurt. You need to protect him. And so they went that second round pick. They go defensive line, Donovan Ezeraku, who was number two in college football in sacks at 16 and a half. He can bend. He ain't the tallest guy, but he can bend. That's what a guy like Dwight Freeney could do. Wasn't the tallest guy, but he knew how to bend. If you can bend, you can get to the quarterback. Oh, by the way, you got J.O. Daniels, who's only going to get better now with another weapon over there. And you got a Super Bowl MVP in the division. So fans are seeing that. And then we look at the third round pick, Chavon Ravel out of East Carolina, if he doesn't get hurt and has a healthy season, he's probably a first-round pick. You get him in the third round because he tore the ACL.
Right.
But the Cowboys starting three corners, you lost your slot guy, Jordan Lewis. He went to Jacksonville. Diggs was your other starter at the beginning of the season. And when he wasn't telling a reporter off after a game on the loss to San Francisco, he ended up getting hurt. He said, now he's trying to come back. He's probably not going to be available for the first month. And then you got Deron Bland, who didn't start the season healthy last year, ended it healthy. So you got a corner problem. And everybody else they had on there was getting toasted. Okay. I mean, it was bad. Like, turn around. I mean, these guys are terrible. So they addressed that. So from the perspective of looking at what they needed to do, and then their late round picks were dudes up front to try and stop the run. They did technically what they needed to do, but it wasn't flashy to the fans. It wasn't some wide receiver. It wasn't a running back that they know, so they're all down on it.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned wide receiver and running back there because I really like their draft. I hate to say it, but I liked what they did to improve that unit up front this offseason. I think they did a good job with some guys on defense in the draft especially. But who is going to be the option outside of CeeDee Lamb? Because you look at the depth chart and receiver, it's Jalen Tolbert, maybe Turpin, Jonathan Mingo, who they traded for last year at running back. You got Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders. I like Jaden Blue getting picked up in the draft, but none of those names are super flashy either.
The wide receiver thing still has to work itself out. I mean, if you're the Cowboys, you look back at Amari Cooper, who they had a relationship with, who Dak Prescott really enjoyed. They got rid of him because of the whole COVID deal. Because he wouldn't take the shot. Jerry was all about taking a shot. He didn't take a shot, missed two games. Jerry was hot, and they lost both games. So, you know, that's water under the bridge. And then I look at somebody like a Keenan Allen. But just somebody who can be consistent and who Dak Prescott can trust is what they need on the other side of CeeDee Lamb. That's what they need. As far as the running back position goes, I mean, dude, they had homeboy last year. I even forgot his name. He had left already from South Carolina. But he was just a guy. And dang near had 1,000 yards. If you can block, there's enough guys here who can do a lot that can get the job done. Rico Dowdle. I like Javonte Williams. You know, I watched him play in North Carolina. Got hurt a little bit in Denver. But I think he can help. And once again, we know how these markets work. Somebody's going to get cut. Somebody's going to go to minicamp and coaches are going to see something in a player and they're going to let someone go. And that's where Dallas has to capitalize on. I remember a couple of years ago, they got Robert Quinn at the end. As Miami was trying to make some moves and they brought him there, he had a great season, ended up turning into a big contract up with the Bears. So I just think that's the route they have to go. But most of all, fans have to realize the Cowboys are a team that at best will be fighting for a wild card spot, at best. And I think with the challenges they had, not realizing when DQ took the roster last year in their depth, that this is basically a two-year process, in my opinion, to try and get this team back to where it needs to be. But Philly's going to be better. Washington's going to be better in a year, too, with DQ, Witt, and Cliff. So, to me, man, if they can win 7-8 games, that's really more realistic about what it is. And we still don't know if Brian Schottenheimer is the head coach. We don't know. I like Shotty personally, but I asked Jerry when he hired him, what do you know that 31 other teams didn't know? Because for 3 years he's been here, ain't nobody interviewed him for a head coaching job but you.
That's crazy. What was Jerry's answer?
Yep. His nose has been bloodied. I like it. 25 years he's been in the fight. I'm like, Jerry ain't won nothing. Ain't been around with nobody who won nothing. It's, man, Jerry the ultimate salesman. As Bill Parcells once said, Jerry can talk a cat off the top of a fish truck. I didn't buy it, but Jerry's the ultimate salesman. You see, he's still got this team. People still taking a hopium drug around here for 30 years and ain't won anything. But that's the genius of Jerry. But I at least like the fact that they drafted some dudes who were team captains who have a lot of character. That's what Parcells did when he got here. He's like, hey, man, let me get some people of substance. And I feel like the last two draft picks, some people question how much they love football. You know, you got to get people like that around here, and we'll see from there. We'll see from there.
Talking with our friend Nui Scruggs here on the Rude Guest Hotline, RUUD. If it ain't rude, it ain't right. Of course, you can watch Nui on NBC in Dallas-Fort Worth. It's interesting you talk about getting guys of substance in there. That is absolutely something DQ and Adam Peters have done here in their 2 years of putting this roster together. I'm curious – where are Things with Micah Parsons. It seems like that podcast keeps being a thing, which frankly I think is kind of silly. Like, athletes doing their own podcast really isn't that big of a deal anymore. I feel like with the Cowboys, there's always a lot of smoke, but rarely actual fires. Like, where is the Parsons situation?
First time he's getting signed. You name me the great player Jerry wanted who walked out the door. You can't.
Right.
Because they all get signed. Are there some people in the building who rumbled about, well, do we? Yeah, they have. But guess what? They'll write checks. Jerry writes checks. Jerry always writes a check. He waits too late these days to do it, but he always writes a check. Micah Parsons will be paid. As far as the podcast goes, man, he was in Cincinnati. Nobody cares. All right? If he's playing in Kansas City, they don't care. But he plays for the Cowboys, so it's a talking point. And they aren't winning like they need to. And Micah also says some stuff to me like, oh, brother, bro, Broham, Billy. Like when they made the pick. Did you see his face when they made the pick? Oh, my gosh. He was like, what? I wanted a lineman. I wanted somebody on defense. And then when he talked to him, Micah's jumping up and down. Yeah, man. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Because Booker Tubman wanted to make people quit football. But that's him. And, JP, the problem with Toby, the problem is we, as dudes 30-plus years old, want these kids to act like, you know, mature people ain't.
Right.
He's a kid. He's emotional. Like, he got on social media after Duke lost. He's a huge Duke fan. I don't know why, but anyway.
That's impacting my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah, I've talked to him about his misguidedness.
But he's like, especially for you, you're a Tar Heels guy.
Damn right. He was at the Mavericks, big Mavs ball, wearing a Carolina suit jumper. Carolina jumper, talking about, no, man, it's Duke blue. I'm like, oh, it's baby blue, okay? But that's Micah, man. That's Micah. He likes to talk. He likes all that. But he gets on Twitter, and after the Duke loss, he's like, oh, it's the most devastating loss I've ever had in my life. Fans went after him. They started putting underscore the 49 a game. And then Micah starts going back and forth with it. I mean, that's just him. But here's what matters the most in Jerry Land. He gets the quarterback, and he's good. And you don't give talent like that away. I mean, Jerry was talking about Luka Doncic with Nico. Talking about his wife Jean cry when they traded Luka. So Jerry's not going to do something dumb like the Mavericks and not sign a great player. So just wait for it until, you know, the last minute, and it'll get done. But Micah Parsons is going to be with the Cowboys.
You told me that – this is years back. You told me that the first time there was real contract trouble with Dak. And you're like, Jerry always gets his guy. So that'll get done. It's funny, you're the best for a reason. It's almost like you knew I wanted to ask you one Luka question and just that situation down, because I know you cover the Mavs and know all the people involved. With the way the Lakers flamed out in round one, are there any Mavs fans that feel...
No. Nobody, ain't nobody running to Nico's side, okay? No. Oh, no. Okay, the only people that are trying to say, well, maybe Nico had, there are people who know him personally. Ain't nobody around here excusing that. Look, do you think Jerry Jones would take a fat Dak Prescott if he got to the Super Bowl? Yes. Yes. This is the team that went to the finals, okay? Who cares if he might have drank some beers or smoked some hookah? They went to the finals. You know where they went when they let him go? Home. Mm-hmm. And you know what the fans did? Cancel tickets. Yeah. You know what people are doing now? They're putting on Lakers jerseys. No. I get it. Yes. Is there some truth to what Nico said? Yeah. But once again, he's 26. What if he figures it out? Okay. Anthony Davis, we know what Anthony Davis is. He's 32 years old. He hurt all the time. Kyrie Irving, you know, great player, but he's hurt all the time. The future for the Mavs is bad. Bad. And, okay, can I just keep it real here? We got a white superstar here. White superstar in the town that loves white superstars from Europe. Been loving them for 20 years. They were happy. People were pissed. They should be. He was a great player. Yeah, he was a pain in the neck. But you know what? Tell me a superstar basketball player who don't come with a little something.
Well, and
okay? There's a reason why Bill Parcells put up with Lawrence Taylor and Bill Belichick put up with him, because he was great.
Sure.
How did people receive him coming back and the emotions that he showed? Did that make it worse? Was that even like twisting the knife in the wound there even a little bit more?
Yes, yes. I was there when they had the closed door camera meeting with Nico. Nico sat to my left, Tim McMahon at ESPN sat to my right. So I watched these two volley going back and forth. It was bad, okay? It was just, it was sad. It was bad. And I've seen dudes come back here before after they've left. I've been here 25 years. I've seen some dudes leave and come back. That right there was some sad stuff, and fans are mad. And my dude out here making buckets, and they cheering for him. I felt bad for the Mavericks players. It was like you had a home game in your own building. They out there cheering for him.
Yeah.
They wanted to see Luka hit 50. It was, you know, and Nico, they chant Nico sucks at FC Dallas soccer games. They chant it everywhere, man. Just break out. Nico sucks. I mean, only thing I'm waiting on something to happen in church. But, you know, it's bad around here for Nico. And I asked him, I said, man, why do you want to have this job still? You got death threats. You got a family. Why do you still want this? He was like, I'm excited about the future. I'm like, brother, you know they shot JFK in this town. You about to be next. They are not happy with you. You got security everywhere you go. I went to that Mavs ball event. That's their, like, their big charity. You should see all security around. They know, man, people after this dude, they not happy.
Oh, I did not think we'd have a JFK assassination reference. Last thing from me, Nui, and thank you for your time as always. Dallas, I've spent enough time at Jerry World and, you know, Dallas is a football town, first and foremost. Cowboys run that thing. But you've got the Stars into the second round, one of the most incredible, exciting first-round series. That third period that Dallas put together the other night was wild. Here in Washington, this is a football town. Commanders run it. But there's Caps fever, and it continues to grow and spread. What's it like for the Stars down there right now?
This ain't that. Because up north, you've got a lot of people, you know, who grew up with hockey. Hockey here just got to town in 93. They were the last professional sport here. The people that care are truly in the building. We'll see where it goes. I mean, I'll give you a good example. Last year, you know, the Mavs went to the finals. The Stars were in the Western Conference Finals against Edmonton with a shot to end up going to the Stanley Cup Final. And we were just talking in our newsroom about, you know, what we were going to do and how we were going to cover this thing. And, you know, it was just kind of like, ah, man, it'd be hard to cover both teams. And, you know, where would we send the top team? We're like, well, the top team would go with the Mavs because more people love basketball. When the bubble hit in 2000 and they played up there, Dallas played Tampa Bay for the Cup, and it was on NBC. We didn't get any ratings bumps from it. You know, it wasn't like, man, people tuned in like, oh, my God. I mean, The Last Dance, like, did 9-9-1.
Right.
Versus, like, the Stanley Cup Final. So, if they get there, man, people will be happy. But there's a certain section of fans here who just don't understand hockey. They just don't get into it. They'll be happy they won. I know that was the greatest game I'd seen in 25 years of Dallas Stars hockey. I was lucky enough my first year when I got here, they went back to the final, and they had a Game 7 at the old Reunion Arena in which Mike Modano scores, and they beat Patrick Waugh in Colorado. You know, so this is a great time. But, you know, hey, it's fourth on the list.
Gotcha.
And it's going to be that way. But, you know, it's not the Caps. You know, it's not what you guys have. But I'll say this, man. You know, Jim Neal, Brad Alberts, the president and GM, man, they're great people. They got great dudes here. I hope they can do it. But this is going to be a tough series, man. Jets are hard, man. This is tough, man.
Yeah.
Man, the NHL ain't doing the league no favors. Like, man, why we got heavyweight fights in round one and two? I mean,
it's like, dude, it's hard. And, like, the way they structure these playoffs is crazy. Nui, are you aware of what many in hockey believe to be the secret weapon that Dallas deploys behind the visitors' bench there? The blonde women that are right on the glass and wearing very little. Have you seen that at all?
Let me tell you something, man. That arena's been there for a minute. Did you know I met a girl and buried her at a Mavs game?
Really?
I was girl watching with a marketing guy, Tim, from the Mavs. Three ladies are walking. And lo and behold, well, I'm about to tell a whole lot too much here right now. Buckle up. So it's halftime. I'm doing this half court shot for cancer. Like, so it's me, Mark Cuban, and the third dude at the time was popular, but later went to jail, Jared from Subway. I missed the shot, dude. I'm trying to get off the court as quick as possible. and a girl stops me. This lady stops me. She's like, hey, Newey, do you remember me? It's a lady I met at the club. A club I'd gone to a couple times. Well, standing next to her was the girl I was staring at earlier in the day, in the first quarter. Turns out it's her sister. Next time at the club, I say, hey, how's your sister? She said, you should take her out. I said, if you pay for it, I'll do it. Ended up going on a date with that girl in March, proposed to her in June, and got married in December, and was married for 19 years to her. So All that at the Dallas Mavs, at the reunion, the American Airlines Center, which is a meat market all day long. There you go.
With you, Cubes, and Subway Jared. Most bars you go to in Dallas are a meat market. We got to go. Producer's going to flip. You're the best. I can listen to these stories forever. Thank you, Newey.
Later. Appreciate it.
It's our friend, Newey Scruggs. Some very interesting audio from Alex Smith on Jaden Daniels when we return.